Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. You know, last week we got off to kind of a different topic, and that was, does God exist? Proof of God, proof of Christ. And it was very interesting, and we were able to conquer that. So now we have no doubts about that, and shouldn't. So we move on to how we handle ourselves today. And of course, we're in the book here, King James Version, and we're on chapter 6. And like I said, we changed kind of our way to go last week, but we're on chapter 6, page 122, Leviticus 6. And it's such a tough book. And everyone is asking, why do we have burnt offerings? And, you know, the different things, sin offerings and everything. Well, they're God's statutes. They're God's laws. There's God's covenants, God's, you know, decrees. So understanding this, and a lot of people have asked before too, well, why didn't we have them prior to Moses? And you have to look at it. There's a couple of things that for me that are side by side parallelism, little bit of theology to it. And I wanted to bring those up. One was, if you remember, after Noah and came Abram, and it wasn't Abraham yet, it was Abram. And of course, after he rescued from the war, all the different women and children and plunder that that was done, he met Melchizedek, king of Salem, and gave 10% and started tithing. Basically, that was the onset of tithing. And if you look at that, if you look at the story of Abram, where God told him you need to sacrifice Isaac, without question, as much as it saddened Abram at that point, God also made a promise to him that he was going to have this child, and this child from him was going to multiply to all amounts of the stars and the sand on the seashore. So he believed and trusted God would somehow or another not take the child that he had already made a covenant not to take. And of course, he went on up and brought the child, didn't bring a sacrifice with him, brought everything that he needed. And on the way, Isaac even asks him, where's the sacrifice? Well, God will provide. And so when he gets there, he binds the child. Whether he talked with Isaac ahead of time or not, Isaac was the sacrifice. And he pulls out the blade. He's ready to do it. And lo and behold, an angel comes down and says, do not hurt the lad. Do not touch him. And God is turning around, because you were going to do this and you didn't have any second thoughts about it, and you're faithful and honest. And that was God's test to him. Okay. You could see there's the first almost sacrifice there. The very first one. And then of course we get into, to where we're going with Moses, which brings us to this week. The Passover. And we look at that and we'll say, well, how are we sacrificing? We knew there were sacrifices because Moses said, let my people go so we may go on out and sacrifice and praise and pray to the Lord our God. And of course, the Passover, putting the blood over the doorposts, and God would pass by those houses. But yet he would afflict all of the firstborn. So we know that. There's another parallelism there when you look at all the way down the line to the New Testament of Christ. And when we get to that, and when we see that, there's no need for sacrifices, especially when we start to get into Isaiah, and he says, listen, I'm doing a new thing now. I'm doing a new thing. And he's laying out all this that's going to happen. God knows 250 plus years before Christ shows up And he's prophesying about this. He's talking about this, predicting it all. And all the way through the line, they've killed the prophets or something has befallen them. And then when we get there and it's starting to happen, and we know that Moses even talked about Christ in those times. So we get there and we see this, and Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. The last one, the one and only Son of God, sacrificing himself for our shortcomings, for our stiff-neckedness, for our proudness, and for all the things that we do that are evil and everything else. And they're like, well, why would God do that? If, you know, where did all this evil start? Well, where did it start? Was it in heaven when Satan tried to overthrow God, thinking he was equal or above him? But how could he be if God created him? So that was never going to work. And with him fell one third of the angels. And Christ says in the New Testament, I saw Satan fall like lightning, like lightning. So we know right there is our awareness of the first time that Satan is beneath God. And we knew this. When was the second time? Well, it was real simple. When we're in Eden, the Garden of Eden, and Adam is there, and a lot of people are like, well, you know, Adam wasn't born there. Adam was molded, had life breathed into him, and was placed in the garden to tend it. Which brings another point. The Garden of Eden, a perfect place. And of course, God says man shouldn't be alone. You know, he should have a helpmeet. And he creates woman. And of course, he gives them a couple of commands, statutes, laws. He says, do not eat. You can eat freely of anything in the garden, but do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He's clear. And there's multiple trees for meat and everything else for Adam and the woman to have. And of course, as she says, the serpent beguiled me. And then God went right in a row from Adam to the woman to the serpent. And they're like, what do you mean the serpent? Well, do I think it was an actual snake? You know, we've seen people in the world and we've called them snakes, serpents, you know, he's poison. He's a serpent, whatever. Don't know. Only what we can tell you from what we're seeing in the book. But it could have many different interpretations to that. But there you go. There's Eden. That was God's place until we broke away from man, from our own sins. And it broke that relationship. But God still had mercy. Could it the same that he had with Satan and one third of the angels? He could have wiped them out right then and there. And what was different about them falling and not being able to be forgiven versus us? Well, a couple of things. We have to look at it as, first of all, we were created in God's image. Next, those were heavenly realms, holy spots that is God's temple. And we know God walked in the Garden of Eden. He was there. Now, with Adam saying, okay, I've seen him face to face, did he really? I mean, as far as he's concerned, he could hear him, could speak with him and everything else. But as far as we're concerned, God is omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipowerful, omnipresent. So when we think about that and we look at Adam and we look at how everything was done, you know, God had created all the animals, But he so loved Adam, he was curious to see what Adam would name all the animals. Thus, kind of making a special bond in creation as far as name-wise. And say, okay, this is that. And Adam broke that. And we also know that because God is omnipowerful, just all those different things, when he asked Adam where he was this a rhetorical question? Adam, where are you? Well, we hid ourselves because we were naked. Who told you you were naked? He already knows the answer to this. But it was called free will. The angels had it. But they're not going to be forgiven because they did their mistakes in the heavenly realms. But if you look at it, Eden, in a lot of ways, if you go through it, and we get to Moses, and the Moses had the tabernacle, created the tabernacle. God gave them the Holy Spirit to do the dimensions, everything else, cunning work. And we've went through that. And that was another holy spot. And we know that because when Adam was up in the mount, he was told, take off your sandals. Where you're standing is holy. It makes all the difference in the world when you're in the presence of God. Well, the serpent, again, had broken that. So I look at, in a lot of ways, the place where God was meeting with man and everything else as kind of the first place was Eden. The next place was the tabernacle. Well, actually on the mount, and then the tabernacle. And after that, we're going to find out later on, it was in David's kingdom from his son, because David was a man of blood, Solomon. And God was there. So it's very interesting. And you could see how all these steps are playing a role, going all the way down the line, and all the wonderful stories and everything else that are true. It's not myth. It's not make-believe. I mean, it's incredible in the details of all how it is. So the burnt offerings are just for God. He loves the sweet aroma, the sweet smell, everything. So as we get into this now, we're still doing in Leviticus all these different things. So we're, and he's giving, if you notice, he's giving statutes, he's giving laws. These are in the book of Moses. These things are what the scribes that failed when Christ came, why they missed the boat. They were so interested in all of this. But if you go to Isaiah and he says, I'm doing a new thing. If you look at John, and we go through John, first was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. So as Christ is giving the parables, as he's talking about the new laws, the new decrees, he's not discarding all of Moses' decrees. He's just saying, now, all these things, I lay upon these first two commandments, all of them together. But we know there's like six of them now in the New Testament. But the most important he lays upon them is, worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, love one another. Which is very important. Because we have all these laws, all these statutes, and everything else. And the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, and everything were so worried about these laws that they weren't even following the laws themselves. But they wanted to be in the high places. They wanted to be seen by everyone. They wanted to be, reverend. They, instead of it coming to go to God, they were trying to manipulate hold people accountable, and yet putting heavy burdens on them that they weren't abiding by themselves. And when God was right in front of them, even Philip at the one time. So how are we going to see this God where you're going? And Christ says to him, Philip, don't you know me? You have been with me. Don't you know me? And what I'm sure he was frustrated even with the disciples because of their faith. You know, they were getting it slowly, but probably a lot slower than what should have been. And as he's talking to Christ, he doesn't understand that Christ is in God, God is in Christ. God sent the Messiah, his one and only son. However, what people don't realize too is in much of this, God is sacrificing himself, because there's no way through regular burnt offerings, sin offerings, wave offerings, and all these different things that we can make up for our sins. The only way it can be accomplished, that the bridge can be gapped, is through Christ God, through Jesus Christ. And that's because he came here and was perfect. He didn't sin. He didn't make mistakes. But he experienced everything that we have. Pain, suffering, sadness, happiness, heartache, heartbreak. And yet, he didn't stumble. He didn't trip. He didn't even wobble. Faithful all the way through. And then we killed him for it. And then I've always asked that question, would they do it today? Of course they would. Because people just, our faith, our belief, our hope, we've lost that. Our compassion, we've lost that today. The world is just getting, we're not experiencing anything different than what they did. It's just becoming more out there. And of course, now we're doing it in more evil ways. Which is why Christ is going to come back and thus fulfill everything that was prophesied about him to begin with. So I hope that clears up a little bit of burnt offerings and sin offerings, wave offerings. So let's get to it. Leviticus 6, 127, King James, chapter 6. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be because he hath sinned, and he is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he had found. He has to be responsible. He has to pay for it. Or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall never even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of thy flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him of anything of all that he have done in trespass therein. Why would God do this? Well, one, we are created in his image and he loves us. He's merciful. He's just faithful and gives us every chance in the world. And this is why we have free will. The ultimate thing is God doesn't want you just worshiping because you think you're forced. He wants you to make a decision. You have a choice. Some of us think we have all the time in the world, but God controls that. Remember, he's outside of space, time, and matter. So we don't. We only have what he is gracious to give us. But it's our choice whether to accept it or not to accept it. So here we are, verse 8, the burnt offering. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying that this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall be put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he should put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn therein the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And a lot of this too is God is the light. God is the word. God, you know, the things that we don't understand is God doesn't have our thinking. His thinking is above our thinking. His understanding is above our understanding. So he's giving us these things to show not only our faithfulness, but that we're going to obey his commands. Are we worthy? If you're going to go into heaven, if you're going to be blessed by being with Christ God and be in one of the heavenly realms, shouldn't you earn it? Shouldn't you show it? So a lot of this is definitely making these things, you know, these commands, making sure that we're faithful. After all, he tested Abram, who became Abraham. He tested Jacob, who became Israel. And we know that. And from him, he kept his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was Israel. Hence the 12 tribes. It's very interesting to pay attention to this. And if you look, you're going to find out a bunch of different things from Hebrews to Jews to Israelis to Israelites. Not in that order, but you all of a sudden we got four groups, right? And it's like, but at the same time, it all comes from Abraham. Everything does. It all starts there. And this is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron offer it before the Lord, before the altar. This is the procedures. And it shall take of it his handful of flour of the meat offering and of the oil, therefore, and all the frankincense, which is upon the meat offering, and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savior, even the memorial of it unto the Lord. It's a token. And the remainder thereof still shall Aaron and his sons eat. With the unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall eat it. and it shall not be taken, shall not be baken with leaven. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy. And there it is again, most holy, as it is a sin offering and as the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Everyone that toucheth them shall be holy. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this is the offering of Aaron and of his sons, which they shall offer up unto the Lord in the day when he is anointed, the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for meat offering perpetual, half of it in the morning and half thereof at night. In a pan shall it be made with oil, and when it is baken, thou shalt bring it in, and the bacon pieces of the meal offering shalt thou offer for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priests of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statute forever unto the Lord. It shall be wholly burnt. So he wants to make sure that it is entirely, to the Lord. For every meat offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt. It shall not be eaten. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. So, it's only used for that. That's exactly what it's used for. He's given the law, the statute for it. That's all it's for, used for. The priest that offer it for a sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whosoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. And when there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place. But the earthen vessel wherein it is sodden shall be broken. And if the sodden in a brazen pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests shall eat thereof. It is most holy. And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile with all in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. And it's, you could kind of see where this is going. It's, everything is most holy. That tabernacle is most holy. And it's in the presence of God. It is most holy. And he is there. We know this how, by a pillar of cloud. It's very distinct. And fire at night, the pillar. So we know that this just reproves everything that Moses has been saying. And they're learning. This is exactly how it's to be done. Step by step, just as they made the tabernacle. Just as God explained it to them, the dimensions, the measurements, the material. Chapter 7, the trespass offering. Likewise is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. This is the guilt offering, trespass offering, guilt offering. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about the altar. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the rump and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is in the flanks, and the caul that is above the liver. With the kidneys it shall be take away. And the priest shall burn upon them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy, as the sin offering is. So is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it. And the priest that offer any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering, which he hath offered. And all the meat offering that is bacon in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan, shall be the priests that offer it. Every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall all the sons of Aaron have one as such as another. But see, God is very specific on how he's telling this. And he's got these rules. They're following him. So let's keep moving on. The peace offering. And this is the law of the sacrifice peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides these cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priests that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice. And on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed upon him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire, and as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing as uncleanness of man or any unclean beast or any abomination, unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, ye shall eat no manner of fat of ox or of sheep or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dieth of the beasts, that dieth of itself, and the fat which is torn with the beast, may be used in any other, but ye shall not eat it, or in no way wise eat of it. And whosoever eateth the fat of the beast which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. It's spilled blood. It's not holy as far as God is concerned. Cook it. Do not eat it raw. Do not eat it while it has blood in it, dripping out. He's making it clear. These are his rules. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even the soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the beast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priests shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offering. He among the sons of Aaron that offer the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offering and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by statute forever from among the children of Israel. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. The summary of the offerings. This is the law of the burnt offering, the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of consecrations, and of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And that's it. These are, and you can see right there, these are his laws, his rules, his statutes, you know, what they can do to be forgiven for their mistakes. Why? Because God is a gracious and merciful God. He is doing it with animals rather than you and I. He is teaching us exactly how it's to be done. If you want me to notice it, if you want it to be an acceptable offering, then it must be done in this way, which is teaching them laws, which is teaching them the reasons, which is giving them everything. So now we get down to it. Consecration commanded by God. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. He's letting them know. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And you know, it's very interesting because there again, I see another kind of right in a row walking parallelism. When you go to the New Testament, Christ washing the feet, and he is the greatest, he's the master, but at the same time, he's serving. Unless I do this to you, you cannot be a part of me. Well, when we look at this and we look at Moses, he washed them with water. And I mean, these are all these different, like I said, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth from Old Testament to New Testament over 63,000 times. So here we go. the special garments, and he put upon them the coat, and girded him with the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him, and he girded them with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him wherewith, and he put the breastplate upon him, and he also put the breastplate, the Urim and the Thummim, and he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, even up upon his forehead, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein, and sacrificed them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar seven times, and he anointed the altar and all his vessels, both the laver and the foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And the Lord and Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with the girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses. And you'll notice this too, that what we're seeing here, the pouring of anointing oil, and you'll notice that Mary in the one time used very expensive perfume and poured it on Christ's feet and then wiped his feet with her hair. And that really sent Judas off to a rage. Why wasn't this used to feed the poor? It's a whole year's wages. But he wasn't even really interested in that. And that goes again with how the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Sanhedrin were. They didn't care less. They just, because they were like, this is a waste. This is a waste. But you're seeing how it is here. So it's very interesting. And the seven times, if you look at it, God created the world six times. On the seventh day, he rested. Or I like to say, in my interpretation, he was just looking back at what he did and not creating anymore at that point in time, but looking, and it was good. And God said that all the way through when he's talking about what he's done. So you could kind of get your own idea on some of these things. And if you have questions or whatever, that's how I interpret it. But if I'm in doubt, then I can go to a priest, a rabbi, clergy, deacon. Pretty much you can go and ask questions that if you don't know, at least you'll get their interpretation of it. I'm nobody. I'm just a guy that likes to read the Bible. But here we go. Consecrating with blood. And he brought the bullock for the sin offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering. And he slew it. And Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger and purified the altar and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar and sanctify it to make it a reconciliation upon it. And he took all the fat that was upon the inwards and the caul above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat. And Moses burned it upon the altar. But the bullock and his hide, his flesh, and his dung, he burnt with fire without the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about, and he cut the ram into pieces. And Moses burnt the head and the pieces and the fat, and he washed the inwards of the legs in water. And Moses burnt the whole ram upon the altar. It was a sacrifice, a burnt sacrifice for a sweet savor and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it. And Moses took of the blood of it, and he put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Who is sitting to the right of God? We already knew this, the right hand of God. We know it is Christ. So all these things do have a meaning. He's done the right ear. He's done the right thumb. He's done the right foot. And understand, why is it always these things that he's doing too? You know, a lot of people can look at it one way. I look at it and I'm like, when God had told Moses, take off your sandals, you're standing in a holy spot on Mount Sinai. Think about it. And everything is the same way with the tabernacle. Everything's going to be the same way. You know, David has got everything set for Solomon to build the temple. It's going to be the same way there too. So this is, and it's the sacrifice. These sacrifices are because they're doing the most holy thing for God, ministering to him, teaching the people, you know, giving them the commands and everything else in the most holy place. So, yes, there is a sacrifice. After all, Christ is our sacrifice. So you could kind of see how this lines up and everything. And he brought Aaron's sons and Moses and put out the blood upon the tip of the right ear and upon the thumbs of the right hand and the feet, and sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. And he took the fat and the rump and all the fat that was upon the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and their fat, and their right shoulder. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, and a cake of oiled bread, and one wafer, and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. And he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon Aaron's son's hands, and waved them for a wave offering before the Lord. And Moses took them from off their hands and burnt them on the altar upon the burnt offering. And they were consecrations for a sweet savor. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And Moses took the beast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. 4. Of the ram of consecration, it was Moses' part, as the Lord commanded Moses. And Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar, and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon his sons' garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. And you know, it's very interesting because you're like, why the garments? Why everything else? But you know, that brings you to the story of the woman who was bleeding and couldn't stop for 12 years. I can never remember that. But, and she thought all she had to do was just touch Christ's clothing, his robe. And of course she did, in the multitude of a crowd. And he turns and he says, "Who touched me? For I felt power come out of me." And of course, everyone's like, "Lord, what do you mean who touched you? Look at the crowd you're walking through. Everybody is touching you." And he turned around. And of course, there's the woman, instantly stopped. And of course, Pharisees, Sadducees, all of them are like, "She is unclean." And he said, "No, she's clean. She is clean now. You are forgiven your sins." And he healed her. So when you think about the garments, think of that, and then think about how this pertains. These are most holy things. And that is how God has described them. That is exactly how it is. But you can see again how that relates. Christ's clothes were holy because some people would just touch him. Not even him, just his garments, and be healed. And Moses said unto Aaron and his sons, "Boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of consecrations, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And that which remaineth of the flesh and of the bread shall ye burn with fire. And ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you. As hath done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do. Make an atonement for you. Therefore, you shall abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, that ye die not. For so I am commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And you see, God is talking to Moses in this one. Well, why didn't he just go to Aaron and the priests? Moses is the one that has led them out. Moses is the leader. Aaron is the high priest. His sons are the priests. They all have their place and their things to do. It's very, very organized. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and they offer them before the Lord. And you'll notice perfection without blemish. Well, that's exactly what Christ was, without blemish, without mistakes, without sin. Perfect. And offer them to the Lord. And unto the children of Israel, thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year. Here's the first year. Again, the Passover deal. Without blemish for a burnt offering. And I'm calling it a Passover deal, but that is exactly what God told them to do. I will not hurt you. I will pass by if you put the blood over the doorposts and frames. So it was. That's exactly what it was. Also, a young bullock and a ram for peace offering to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you. And they which brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you shall do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto to Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them, as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp. And he slew the burnt offering. And Aaron's son presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about the altar. And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof and the head. And he burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash the inwards and the legs, and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. So we're getting here to where we're going to be coming up here. Let's see what we got. Oh, yeah, we've moved right along. And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it and offered it for a sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering and took a handful thereof and burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He slew also the bullock and ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about, and the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump, that which covereth the inwards, and the kidneys, and the caul above the liver, and they put the fat upon the beef, upon the breasts, and they burnt the fat upon the altar, and the breasts and the right shoulder Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from an offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and a peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared before the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. So we're going to stop there. We are on chapter 10. We're going to be on page 132, King James, and it is Leviticus 10. And you're going to see what's going to happen here. But 25, we are moving right along. We are cruising. But now we're going to get into what happens when you don't obey and follow the commandments of God. And I want you to pause when this happens. We discuss this next week. Anyway, I'm hoping that you all have a very wonderful, Passover. Have a wonderful, Good Friday. Have a wonderful Easter. It's all coming up. You just finished Palm Sunday. How wonderful is that? And we've just got so much to talk about and just so many exciting things. But with that, I'm going to leave you for this week. Just try to be kind. Try to be understanding. Try to be good. Try to follow God's word. Walk in Christ as best as we can. And we're horrible people. We are. We are the biggest sinners that there are. So let's try to keep striving to do better for the Lord, for everything that he has done for us, blessing us. So, dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time. We thank you for the knowledge that you're giving us. We thank you for the understanding and the learning and just the wonderful teachings of you talking to us through your word, your most holy words. And we thank you for that, Lord. May it strengthen and guide us in doing your will always. In Christ God's name, Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, amen. All right, guys, with that, we are out of here. And thank you. That was wonderful. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. I just love it. I just love reading you want to get to know the Lord. Last thing I want to tell you is you have to fall in love with him. You have to be in love with him, which means you have to be in love with his word. And the word is the truth. The truth is the light. And the word was with God. The word is God. So with that, God bless you. Love you all. Take care.